watch, be alert, stay awake. All of this implies something really fundamental. But if we miss it, we're going to miss something really important. Watchfulness implies the ability to see. And here we are. We're in Jerusalem. We're on the Temple Mount. We're before all the Pharisees and scribes. Jesus has been going toe to toe with them. And right before he got there, he was passing through Jericho. And there's a blind man, Bartimaeus. The blind man said, "Lord, I want to see. Open my eyes." That wasn't accidental placement for Mark. Mark is showing the fundamental problem with the Pharisees and those who didn't believe in Jesus is that they wouldn't open their eyes. In fact, in the Gospel of John, after the healing of the blind man, the Pharisees say to him, "Oh, are you saying that we're blind too?" And Jesus says, "No, see, here's the thing. If you said you were blind, you'd have no fault. But because you say you can see, your guilt remains." We want to, like Bartimaeus, admit our spiritual blindness, that we need Jesus to open up our eyes. And this is a regular thing. Always I need him to open my eyes, continue opening my eyes so that I can see what he wants to show me. But even there, once our eyes are opened, when I can see, one of the things that I immediately notice if I'm paying attention is that I can't see everything. And I can't see as much as I'd like to see. How many of you ever been, you know, to a beautiful place, a state park, a national park, where you're like, "I just want to see everything and I can't. We're driving by too fast, or, you know, there's too much, or I wish I had a swivel on my head." We can't see as much as there is to see. Even this image of watching through the night, keeping vigil, the sentinel on top of the tower, he can only look in one direction at a time. There's always more that's unseen. And this is the truth in spiritual realities and symbols and sacraments and mystery, that as much as I can see, there's an infinite amount that I can't see. As much as I can see, there's more that I can't see. And there's a frustration in not being able to see. And we want to be okay with that. We actually want to say, "Oh, yeah, actually, there's. I want to see, I want to hear, I want to know." That's good. Let's allow that desire to be enkindled in our heart. The Pharisees were the ones who didn't think they even needed to see. And we don't want to be like them. So what I want to do during this time of Advent is just unveil some of the symbols of the liturgy, but as we unveil, we find that there might be even more that's obscured, and that's the nature of a mystery, of a symbol. And I wrote about that in the bulletin. I've done a podcast on that. Just invite you to check that out for diving deeper into this. So the image that I want to bring us for the liturgy today is this image that the scriptures show us. Started off the very first prayer, the opening prayer. "Lord, may we run forth to meet you at your coming, so that we may be counted on your right hand." That we may be on your right hand. This harkens back to last week's gospel. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, he comes to judge the living and the dead, as we say in the creed. He separates the goats from the sheep. The goats are on his left hand. The sheep are on his right hand. We want to be amongst the sheep. We want to be on the right hand. This is what he comes to do when he comes to judge. And so in a very real way, the liturgy helps us to enter into this drama of judgment. It's kind of like a courtroom drama. And just think of the courtroom movies and shows. And we see there's a little rail like we have right here. There you go. This is where all the action takes place. The judge enters and he sits up at the bench. He's the honorable. He's the most high. He's up there. And then we're all down here. And we're waiting judgment. And we come, we start Mass the same way. We walk in and say, "What's the verdict? How do you plead?" We say, "Guilty. I confess. I have sinned. I've done it. But I'm asking for mercy. I'm pleading guilty, but hoping for mercy. And then the evidence is brought forth. And we hear the evidence from the scriptures. And they give us both, don't they? They give us both the bad news. Yeah, we're guilty. We're all like withered leaves. Our guilt carries us away like the wind. Guilty is charged. But then we get something else. We also get those who testify on our behalf. St. Paul, grace to you and peace from God our Father. For God is faithful. He will keep you firm, irreproachable on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by him you were called into fellowship with his Son. And then something happens that we see often in courtroom dramas. The judge is sitting up there, and the lawyer, he says, "Your Honor, permission to approach the bench." And he goes up to the bench, and he just whispers something. We don't get to hear the conversation. He's talking to him. We don't know what he's saying. And then the lawyer comes back. He winks at his defendant, and then the judge declares the verdict. "I'm going to let you off." What? What did he say? What did he say when he went up to the bench? You know what? As much as we'd like to know, it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter what he said. The point is, we're free. That's what the point is. We're free. I think this symbol of the courtroom drama becomes more apparent when, as we do at the 10 o'clock Mass, we turn and face the altar together. We face God, the judge who is to come together. We've been doing this now at the 10 o'clock Mass for several years, and I just wanted to bring it back to our attention because I don't want us to like, "Oh, well, that's just what we do for this Mass." No, there's a real beautiful spiritual reason for it. Let's go back to the prophet Isaiah here. So the prophet Isaiah, like many of the Old Testament prophets, is acting as a mediator between God and his people. We see the same thing with Moses. Moses goes up the mountain and he beseeches the Lord. He says, don't smite us, have mercy on us, give us another chance. And this is what Isaiah is doing too. But this is what Isaiah did not do. He gathered all the people here together. And then he stood up in front of them and he said, "You, Lord, our Father, our Redeemer, you are named forever. Why do you let us wander, O Lord? From our ways, our hearts are hardened. Return for the sake of your servants, the tribe, the heritage. No ear has ever heard, no eye has seen any God but you." No, that's not what he did. He's not acting. He's not putting on a show. This isn't for posterity. He's pleading to God on behalf of the people. And he's pleading as one of the people. So he takes the people, he goes to the Temple Mount, and he faces this way. He faces the direction that the Lord, with them, he faces the Lord. And as his role as prophet, he implores the Lord, "Behold, Lord, you are angry and we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All our deeds are like polluted rags. Yet you, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands." At Mass, this is what the priest does. He turns our attention to the Father and implores the Father on our behalf as the lawyer. He intercedes for them. And it makes about as little sense for him to face the people while he's doing that than it would for Isaiah to face the people while he was saying that. If you were at court, I don't think you'd want your lawyer talking to you with his back to the good judge. You might infuriate the judge. The judge might feel put off. No, you want him looking at the judge. You want him talking to the judge. You want him going up to the bench and whispering something to him. It doesn't matter what. You get off. Whatever he said was good. And so as we enter into this Advent, I just want to bring us back to that image. And this is really what's happening. When I was praying Mass last night and preached the same homily, and something just clicked for me in a different way, just re-engaging in this image, that not only is the judge merciful, but as the priest on behalf of his people, the lawyer, goes up to the judge and whispers to him, what is he saying? Well, he's saying, Father, your son, Jesus Christ, was crucified and died for these people. And I'm claiming his cross. I'm claiming his blood for them. And I want you to pour it out on them. I want you to cover them with his blood. And then the judge does something incredible, unheard of, crazy, ridiculous. He says, yeah, you're right. They have been claimed by Christ, and I do love them, and they have repented. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take away the death sentence, which was theirs by justice, and in pure mercy, I'm not just going to acquit them, but I'm going to commute their death sentence to a life sentence, eternal life. And then he comes to us and feeds us with the bread of life, the pledge, the foretaste of heavenly bliss. That's the drama. That's the courtroom drama. That's the switch. That's the intensity that we get to partake in every time we come to Mass. And that's just one of the reasons why, from the very beginning of the church, we always faced the same direction, because we understood that the judge is coming. He's coming to judge the living and the dead. And those who call upon them, those who recognize their own blindness, those who implore him for sight, for healing, for salvation, he comes as the merciful Savior. So let's ask the Lord to do just that. And every time we enter into Mass, we have this drama unfolding before us, but we don't sit as innocent bystanders. We actually are exercising our own priesthood. So as I'm offering the prayers on behalf of you, as I'm calling down Christ to be present in his sacrifice in Calvary on the altar, you also are bringing to the Lord all those you want to intercede for. All those who you're going to battle for. All those you're bringing, like, Lord, and let them experience the victory of your cross. Let them experience your mercy. I want them to know you as merciful Savior and not as strict judge. I want them to come into your presence. As we said in the responsorial psalm, Lord, make us turn to you. Make us turn to you, Lord, so we can see your face, so that we can be saved.